I'm Tracy Sable. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, bracing for more. The fight continues against the California wildfires amid a rising death toll and fears the weather conditions will worsen. Stating his case, President Joe Biden discusses his foreign policy legacy as Israel and Hamas inch closer to a ceasefire deal. Ready to report. Confirmation hearings are set to begin on Capitol Hill this week for several of President-elect Trump's cabinet appointees. And baby talk. Pope Francis takes part in a decades-old tradition at the Vatican. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us. Our top story tonight, nature is not letting up on firefighters in California. Heavy winds returned to the area nearly a week after the deadly wildfires broke out. So far, the fire has claimed at least 24 lives. Sadly, that number is expected to grow. And as crews fight the raging flames, the damage is taking an emotional toll on residents.
Lots of tears, anger. We're going through the stages of grief. There's no doubt about it.
What I miss the most are all the photographs of all of my children's lives and my, you know, trips and things like that. And it's got, that's gone.
So hard. All right, here's a look at the numbers right now, and they reveal just how massive these wildfires really are. So far, the fires have burned a combined total of more than 60 square miles. Now, to put that into perspective, that is larger than the city of Paris. More than 92,000 people are still under evacuation orders, and 87,000 are under evacuation warnings. 14,000 firefighters and other personnel are helping to battle the blazes. And right now, the Palisades fire is only 14% contained. The second largest wildfire, that is the Eaton fire, is just 33% contained. And places of worship are among those of the buildings that have been destroyed in the deadly wildfires, including several Catholic churches and schools. Corpus Christi Church in Pacific Palisades, that is, posted a photo right here of the burned out church frame that included the phrase, "I have no words." Local media report that the adjacent K through 8 grade school suffered significant damage and that during the repairs, 150 plus students and more than two dozen staff will be assigned to other schools. This is just one of several Catholic properties that have been damaged or destroyed. And for more now, we turn to Paul Escala, the superintendent for Catholic schools for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Paul, thank you so much for making the time for us. And please know that you all are in our prayers. First, tell us, how is the community doing? You've all been through so much.
Thank you, Tracy. Resilient. Blessed. I was sharing with a colleague of mine just a moment ago after leaving one of our parish schools in Pasadena. And now here in the community of Sierra Madre, St. Rita's Parish School, that it's a juxtaposition between incredible loss and a human tragedy, coupled with incredible resilience and inspirational hope and optimism, because our community is coming together in such a significant way. Catholic school community and parishes, not just here in Los Angeles, but throughout the state of California, and across the country, are just overwhelmed with generosity and giving back so very much to our people, not just within the church, but across the Southland here. So it is a interesting dynamic that's playing out. As you can see behind me, the hills of the San Gabriel Mountains, which were just on fire just a few days ago. And now we have winds and clear skies, but the ash is still falling where I'm at right now. As we help to restore operations here at St. Rita's.
Yeah, and I know the danger is not over there in the Los Angeles area, especially with the winds picking up as well. Let's talk about the damage that we mentioned to Corpus Christi School out there in Pacific Palisades. Do you have any updates on that or any of the other schools?
Yes. So, in fact, community of St. Monica's Parish in Santa Monica just celebrated an incredible liturgy yesterday afternoon on behalf of the Corpus Christi community. They had found the tabernacle. It is the only item left in the church that was completely decimated And that tabernacle was present at the altar yesterday with the Holy Eucharist inside. So it was an incredible moment that we were so moved by. The school itself is closed. It did sustain damage, though miraculously, most of the infrastructure is still in place. Unfortunately, we can't get access to it. The Los Angeles Police Department, along with state and federal law enforcement, got that area closed off and will likely be closed off until at least Thursday, so we can go back into that campus and retrieve records for students. We're in the process now of working with families and staff just to really find out where people are at. People have moved throughout the Southland and even beyond, and we got to try to bring our flock back and identify a new location for a bridge to ultimately coming back to home. But right now the focus is reestablishing communications with our families, getting our folks into a temporary location, and bringing some normalcy and routine back to the families and to the students who we serve.
Yeah, and that's so important. And Paul, thank you so much again for taking the time to give us this update. We're praying for all of you out there, and know that we're behind you. Thank you again. God bless you.
Thank you.
Our President Joe Biden becomes former President Biden 1 week from today when he hands over the keys to Donald Trump. And as he prepares to leave, the president reflects on his 4 years in office. He told a group at the State Department, America and its alliances are stronger, and added, our adversaries are weaker. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Tracy, it's a week of big speeches for President Biden, including a farewell address to the nation and speaking at the U.S. Conference of Mayors, those taking place later this week. Today, at the U.S. State Department, it was all about foreign policy.
President Joe Biden speaks at the U.S. State Department. Despite ongoing wars around the globe, Biden defends his foreign policy moves.
Today, I can report to the American people, our alliances are stronger than they've been in decades. NATO is more capable than it's ever been.
To help Ukraine fend off Russia, Biden rallied allies to provide Ukraine with billions of dollars in military and economic assistance.
Putin has failed to achieve any of his strategic objectives. He has failed thus far to subjugate Ukraine, failed to break the unity of NATO, and failed to make large territorial gains.
Early in his presidency, the disastrous and deadly Afghanistan pullout, 13 U.S. troops killed in a bombing, along with many others, a major setback the Biden presidency struggled to recover from.
In my view, it was time to end the war and bring our troops home, and we did.
And while Israel and Hamas continue fighting, in the press briefing room today, Biden's top national security advisor with this hostage update.
We are close to a deal, and it can get done this week. I'm not making a promise or a prediction, but it is there for the taking, and we are going to work to make it happen.
And Jake Sullivan also telling reporters,
we made our alliances stronger, we made our enemies weaker, we made America's sources of strength stronger, and we did all of that while keeping America out of war.
But Speaker Mike Johnson not impressed, saying, the Biden administration hasn't weakened our adversaries, they've emboldened them, and thus created the most dangerous situation since World War II. As J.D. Vance said on Fox News Sunday, the Biden administration is handing over a dumpster fire in virtually every area of domestic and foreign policy.
Back to Jake Sullivan for a moment. He also said today that artificial intelligence is the most consequential thing happening in the world right now, and he warned that the U.S. must stay ahead of China on that front. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
All right, thank you, Owen. And as we mentioned, there is new hope for a ceasefire deal and the possible release of hostages in the Israel-Hamas war. A draft of that deal was presented to both sides today. And in the first phase, it could release 33 of the hostages. And for more, we turn now to Asaf Murawski, Executive Director of Scholars for Peace in the Middle East. Asaf, thank you so much for joining us. So what do you make of the timing of this potential deal?
Well, thank you for having me. The timing is no coincidence. I think that in the mind of Donald Trump, obviously he sees himself as the same kind of transition between Carter and Reagan. Obviously, the Biden administration wants a win before they leave office. And the Trump administration wants a clean slate. We've heard comments that, you know, if they're not released before he gets into office, they will be held to pay, quote, you know, as far as Trump's comment at large. I think that, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic. This has been going on for over 460 days. And it's a tumultuous roller coaster where these hostages, where you have actually American hostages, part of these hostage group that have been going under horrific conditions and been used as emotional pawns and pawns in general within this larger war at large. Obviously, the families want to, you know, want them home, but the question is the cost-benefit analysis that plays out here, and the question is who's being emboldened as a result of all of this. Hamas would love to see itself the day after tomorrow being part of all of this, so they are using their patrons to make this happen. And all of this is a part of the larger multi-front war with Iran. So, of course, you can't forget the larger parts as well here. But, of course, we want them to come home. But the question is how long this will take. It's been playing out all along here. I think that the Israeli demand has been everybody coming home. But obviously they understand that they need to play this diplomatic game with an Islamist organization. And we're dealing here with a culture of death that makes no distinction between dead or alive. And so the other fear is, of course, a bait and switch if the deal comes to fruition, whether or not they were going to throw in dead individuals or alive individuals. And that's all part of the concern that you're seeing that is coming out of the interlocutors in Doha currently being discussed.
Yeah, and let me talk to you about that. I mean, like, what happens if these hostages are freed and they return and they're malnourished, they're injured? What does that do?
Well, the evidence that we have currently is that even from the ones who have already been freed, we know they've been tortured. We know they've been malnourished. The PTSD is insurmountable, and the psychological damage has been there all along. So the concern of the families is, you know, bring them home now. We'll deal with the challenges later on. The bigger security concerns and part of the demands of Hamas is that Israel evacuate the entire Philadelphia route. That is a security concern for the Israelis, because that Philadelphia route is exactly where the smuggling has been coming in from the Egyptian side. It what maintains the entire oxygen of Gaza at large. And of course, we're talking about active terrorists who are going to be freed and are going to be reactivated. So again, there has to be this cost-benefit analysis here. In Judaism, there is a demand to save. If you save one life, you save the world. And from a religious standpoint, obviously people want to bring back as many alive hostages home to their families. They have suffered enough. But obviously there are regional concerns here that are playing out here, and you're seeing that play out here in the Israeli parliament. There was a very fiery debate today between the families and the members of the Israeli parliament.
Yeah, and we will see what happens. Thank you so much for weighing in and for your insights, Asaf. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Our President Joe Biden gives one of the nation's highest honors to Pope Francis. The president spoke with the Holy Father on Saturday after giving him the Presidential Medal of Freedom with distinction. The White House referred to him as, quote, the people's pope, adding that he has never stopped trying to serve the poor. President Biden had to cancel his scheduled trip to the Vatican because of the wildfires in Los Angeles. And we've a lot more still to come here on EWTN News Nightly, including filling the ranks, a preview of the upcoming confirmation hearings for President-elect Trump's cabinet positions, and learn why a popular retail chain is closing dozens of stores nationwide. Hill. Some busy days ahead for several Senate committees starting tomorrow. Confirmation hearings will kick off for more than a dozen of President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet nominees. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales has more on that. Eric.
Good evening, Tracy. Confirmation week kicks off tomorrow morning with Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth's hearing before the Senate Armed Services Committee. The former Fox News host has been dodged by allegations of sexual misconduct and even financial mismanagement of nonprofits. He's denied the charges and has spent several weeks visiting with senators. Armed Services Committee member Senator Tommy Tuberville tells me he stands behind the nominee.
What's the difference he's going to bring? somebody for the warfighter, somebody that's not for the upper echelon. He's to make the military stronger, better, better trained, put the money in the right spot.
But committee Democrats are making clear the serious allegations and lack of experience disqualify Hegseth from the top defense job.
We need someone who will be sober, who is someone who has gained the respect and trust of the troops, and someone who has demonstrated that he can actually manage an organization, not just of 40 people, which has been his experience, but that he's really ready to take on an organization of 3.5 million people.
Other high-profile nominees facing lawmakers include Doug Burgum for Interior Secretary, but Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says his background checks aren't done and is questioning what's the rush.
Are Republicans trying to hide the fact that maybe some of Donald Trump's nominees are not qualified for the positions they seek? Are Republicans trying to cover for nominees who will turn their backs on working Americans?
Other notable confirmation hearings this week include on Wednesday Senator Marco Rubio for Secretary of State, Pam Bondi for Attorney General, Kristi Noem for Homeland Security Secretary, and Chris Wright for Energy Secretary. On Thursday, Pam Bondi will have her second day of hearings. A confirmation hearing hasn't been set yet for Tulsi Gabbard to be National Intelligence Director. Republican Senator and Intelligence Committee member James Lankford says he's a yes after Gabbard assured him she supports FISA, a key intelligence gathering tool.
There have been quite a few changes that we've made in Congress to make sure we're protecting the civil rights of Americans. But when she came out and said, hey, this is something I'm going to stand for, that is part of the role of the Office of National Intelligence, is to make sure we're actually watching for people to come attack us and stopping them.
The confirmation hearing for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a Catholic and picked to be Health and Human Services Secretary, hasn't been scheduled just yet. Republicans say that they're aiming to confirm several of the nominees, including Marco Rubio, as early as next week, just after Trump is sworn in. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN, News Nightly.
At another news, popular retail chain Kohl's says that by April, it will be closing more than 24 stores. The move comes as Kohl's has posted 11 consecutive quarters of sales declines. The chain says workers have been informed and were offered a severance package or the chance to apply for other positions within Kohl's. I know chief executive is set to take over leadership next week as the company moves forward. Up next on EWTN News Nightly, an annual tradition, the touching way that Pope Francis ended the Christmas season in Rome. Plus, history in the making, what makes this new church in the Holy Land so special. Reminds the faithful to treat the date of our baptism as if it is another birthday.
Chiediamo ai genitori, ai padrini, la data del battesimo.
During his weekly talk at the Vatican, the Holy Father said that our baptism was a birth into a new life. He also notes that the baptism of our Lord is the end of the Christmas season and a time to reflect on God's decision to reveal himself through Jesus so that humanity can more easily encounter him. Well, a new church in the Middle Eastern country of Jordan that is dedicated to the baptism of our Lord is being held as a major achievement, both spiritually and diplomatically. Rody Scheer from EWTN's Asi Mina has more.
Today, we are here in Jordan to witness a celebration of thousands of Christians and this historic moment with the inauguration of a new Catholic church and the baptism site.
Officials and government representatives from around the world gathered to celebrate this opening, highlighting the church's importance to the Christians globally.
It's with great pride and joy that we welcome you today at the gate of this church and to say to everyone that you are most welcome. It's very beautiful and wonderful to see such a gathering in this important moment.
The church has a big main area with an altar and section leading to a special baptism pool. There are also large garden and living areas for monks and nuns. This historical day and celebration ends with a mass led by Pope Francis's personal envoy, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, alongside with Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Cardinal Pizzaballa, bringing everyone together in prayer.
For EWTN News, this is Rudy Scheer.
And finally tonight, we take you from Jesus' baptismal site in Jordan to a very special baptismal site for 21 babies, the Vatican's Sistine Chapel. It is part of a decades-old tradition that coincides with the Feast of the Baptism of Our Lord. EWTN Vatican journalist Benedict Sittergren has more.
Today, each of you parents and the church itself are giving the greatest gift of all, the gift of faith to the children.
On the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, 21 babies began their journey into the Catholic faith.
Io te battezzo nel nome del Padre, del Figlio e dello Spirito Santo. Chiediamo al Signore.
We ask the Lord that they may grow in faith, true humanity, and in the joy of family.
During the celebration, Pope Francis reflected on one of the main symbols of baptism, the Paschal candle. He encouraged the families to carry the light throughout their lives.
When there is a problem or difficulty, light the candle to ask the Lord for grace for your family.
Pope St. John Paul II began baptizing children of Vatican employees in the famous chapel in 1983, and it became an annual tradition that marks the end of the Christmas season at the Vatican. On the previous day, in his first Saturday Jubilee audience, Pope Francis drew inspiration from St. John the Baptist. He described the whole year as a moment of grace and an invitation to begin again with God, our ultimate source of hope.
Il Giubileo, infatti, è un nuovo inizio.
The Jubilee is a new beginning, the possibility for everyone to start anew from God. With the Jubilee, we start a new life, a new phase. Just as we today pass through the Holy Door, so John proposed to cross the River Jordan, entering the Promised Land as Joshua had done the first time, to begin again, to receive the land all over again. Like the first time, sisters and brothers, this is the word, begin again.
Questa è la parola, ricominciare.
Pope Francis will hold these so-called Saturday Jubilee audiences twice every month throughout the whole year to discuss and highlight different aspects of hope, the theme of the 2025 Jubilee. In Rome, Benedizia de Grian, EWTN News Nightly.
Ecco, non dimenticatevi di questo, ricominciare.
And we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tracy Sable. Good night, and God bless.